Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle Ampillo and Mandy M. Roth, where they'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome to Raven Radio. This is Michelle Pillow, and with me is Mandy Roth.
Hello.
I was going to say hi, Mandy. Don't you hide.
Yeah, I'm surprised we're here. We're both experiencing some severe, you know, temperamental weather. So if we disappear and something happens during the show, we will reschedule this. Okay, sorry about that ahead of time.
I'm experiencing severe 4th of July celebration weather. So if it sounds like I'm being shot at, just ignore it. I'm fine.
Are you
any other day, panic.
You sure don't need to put your hunting vest on? I mean, you do live in that part of the country where I think you guys should have to wear them all the time.
No. Yeah. You know, and we were talking about that earlier. Is it more states allow fireworks or don't allow fireworks? I'd be interested to know.
Yeah, if anyone knows.
I just assumed almost everybody could.
Yeah. Yeah, I know here in Ohio, they're illegal. So unless it's like a display show that some place is putting on, you're not allowed to have them. Or, wait, you can have sparklers, but I don't think those count.
You know, and I think that's the first state I'd ever heard of that it was illegal. Where
really?
Is your sense of patriotic pride?
You know what, you can buy them here, but only if you're taking them out of state.
Was that said with a wink? I felt a wink.
You know what, though? I am, like, safety patrol lady when it comes to that. I'm always like, no, don't hold the sparkler, kids. You can put your eye out.
You'll put your eye out.
Exactly. And you know what? If they're genetically related to they might. It's a very likely possibility.
I just can't believe that you guys don't have any sense of patriotic celebration inside of you.
I mean, what
is America if not drunken fireworks?
I was going to say,
a bunch of drunk people running around at night, lighting things on fire. That is what this country is all about.
Blowing things up, never came into it. I just, you know, baked the cake that looked like a flag type thing. That was all I did.
See, now you got me torn. Would I prefer the fireworks or the cake? Can I have both?
Okay, fine.
Yay!
But I can't supply you with them because, you know, oh, wait, you'd be taking them out of state. I can supply you with them. Look at that.
Ooh.
Well, we've got a pretty cool show tonight. We've got two. Count them. That's right. One, two. I actually put my fingers up like a moron, too. Just want to say that.
You're just practicing for when we do the live, the video blog cast.
Yeah. The vlobs. What the hell are we going to call that? Anyways, we have got, I am going to so screw up her name. Is it Zena?
I always call her Zena.
Okay.
But I think warrior princess, so.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know which one, how to pronounce it. But I screw up everyone's name, so I do that equally across the board. And Mary Wine, who is a friend of the Raven, who's been on a few times, she can join us again in the latter half of the show.
I'm very excited to have her. She's always very interesting to talk to.
Yeah, yeah. And as soon as we figure out how to pronounce, you know, Zen's name.
You know, we've actually had authors in the past send us pronunciation keys with their names. And they're like, you must listen to the show.
Exactly.
Well, listeners, you're welcome to call in and talk to either of our guests today or us.
Yes.
We'll be happy to answer your questions. The listener call-in number is 646-595-3998. It is a New York number, and long-distance charges may apply. For more information on using your computer to chat live with us during the broadcast, please visit ravenhappyhour.com and follow the prompts for Raven Radio. Go ahead.
Sorry, if anyone can let me know, too, if the chat to, you know, live option is working, that's great, because we never know until right up to showtime. Wow, just spilt my drink on myself, too. See how professional I am? Look at that. See?
Well, at least you're doing the drunken part of the celebration.
Yes, true. I'm getting a leg up on it all.
You're halfway there. Now you just have to light something on fire. Preferably not your house. Though I did do a tree once.
Oh, my God.
I think I could make an argument for why I shouldn't be in charge of fireworks.
Why they should outlaw them, right, in your state?
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? It's not just fireworks. I'm a disaster in other areas. Today I was blowing out a candle, and I blew so hard that I blew dots of red wax out of the votive onto my glasses and my face and my shirt. I looked like I had blood splatter. And, of course, it was red on my new white shirt.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Now, I am dying to know if you've had anything, you know, happen this last week or anything exciting going on. Or
aside from the candle wax face.
Oh, that was it. I'm sorry. I missed the excitement stage. I'm sorry.
Actually,
okay.
I took a self-defense class this week.
Yes, you did. And how was it?
It was great. It was 3 hours long. My muscles were sore, which I actually kind of like. No, it was very interesting. It was Taekwondo-based, so it was a little bit different. But, yeah, I know how to take people out now, so I'm just waiting for a chance
Excellent.
To use my Tiger Paul-like skills.
Yes. And
how many people are scared? I think they're more scared to give me an open flame.
Yeah, I'm going to actually bring a candle with me, and you're going to be so preoccupied trying to blow it out and not wear it that I think I'm going to be safe.
No, you know, I blow candles out all the time. It's just stupid things like that. That's just me. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can't not do it.
Yeah. Oh,
no,
yeah.
That was
my
exciting thing, is I can take somebody down now. So
I went to
fun.
The beach today. Which, okay, yes, everybody, the mental image you just got of the monsters of the Addams Family goes to the beach is fairly accurate for what it looked like when we go. I'm in, like, you know, long black skirt, you know, black shirt. I've got, you know, long sleeves on. I have the umbrella, the chair, the, you know, don't let the sun hit me. And I'm sitting there, and the wind picks up. And if anybody knows anything about an umbrella, let's just say I look like I was doing a reenactment of, like, Morticia meets Mary Poppins. It was, yeah, it was bad. Little kids were, like, afraid. It was sad. So that was my beach excursion.
That is, you know, every time I, because, you know, people call us themonyms for Mandy and Michelle, for those
right.
of you who haven't seen us online. They kind of gave us the nickname, and we quickly got them to solve the melts in your mouth, not in your hand joke, which I'm sure I just restarted. But every time I see that black and white Addams Family commercial, with the M&Ms as the Addams Family, I think of us.
Oh, we need that on, like, YouTube. We need to have that, yeah.
But I would be like that blonde, normal cousin who comes to visit.
Yes, you would.
Who tries so hard to fit in, but people just look at you and go, huh?
Yeah, you know what? I think you're scaring Cher in the chat room. Stop.
Did she run away?
Yeah, your dirge is
Hi,
totally...
Cher, in the chat room. Yeah, I saw that she was shaking, but I chose to ignore it. I am scary. I am.
Yes.
We'd also give a welcome to Big Dog Show, who just joined us in the chat room. Welcome
yeah.
to the Raven.
Mm-hmm.
You are welcome to either call in. The call-in number is 646-595-3998, or you're welcome to type your questions directly into the chat, and we will read them on air.
Yes.
For those of you who haven't been to the show before. Oh, and I should probably say that if you have questions or comments that you would like to email us after the show, it is ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com, and we'd love to hear
yeah.
from you.
And I do want to state that we did get more filtering in on the Ask an Editor from when Angela James was on, and we do plan on, you know, making her come back. So I am going to save those for her. And also, I am trying, if you're out there, Raylene, I'm going to make you, Gorlinski from Allure's Cave, to get her on to answer questions, which would be great. So I can also ask those of her, too, because they were pretty, you know, broad-spectrum questions. So
if you have Ask an Editor questions that you'd like to use on the future show, feel free to send them in, ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com. And we also drew our viral blogging winners. And we had so much support from people just kind of spreading the word about Raven Radio's new schedule, and we'd like to thank all of you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, did you go dead?
I
am I talking to myself again?
I closed the window with the names in it, so I'm just like, I've got no idea who the names are again anymore. Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. Do you know what? Every time I do that to you, I start thinking of that stupid Don Henry song with the dirty laundry and the news anchor woman who's, like, smiling through the bad news and that. I totally do that to you on Raven Radio. Yeah. I own it, though, see?
Well, I will read the names then.
Thank you, because I'm trying desperately to find it in the
background.
I'm just
smiling and laughing at you.
Not working.
I did something. Well, there is so much support from everybody, and we'd like to give a big thank you. We wish we could have made everybody a winner, but we went ahead and upped the prizes and are giving away four radio, Raven Radio or RavenHappyHour.com prize packages for the advertising. So, drum roll.
Oh,
that
no, no.
was your cue.
I did it.
Bum,
did you not
bum, 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 bum.
I am so up there in league with the sound effect guy from Police Academy. Don't start with me.
That was your sound effects. I didn't do it. And the winners are Rachel. You know, I know Taekwondo self-defense now.
And how to blow out a candle.
If you hold still long enough, I can take you down.
Yes, I'm...
Don't start moving. Are you done?
Almost. I, like, have a couple more, but, yeah, I'm going to hold back.
Okay. Well, we should give the winners real quick before answering the door. It was Rachel, Lisa Logan, J.K. Coy, and Ray Lindy, and directions are on the Raven Happy Hour blog if you'd like to get in contact with us to find out how to get your ads. So thank you all for helping us spread the word about Raven Radio. And hi, welcome to Raven.
Hi, welcome
Open
to Raven
the door.
Radio. Zena?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, just a little confused, but okay.
Is it Zena or Zena or neither?
Zena, you said it
okay.
right.
Okay, we weren't sure. I wasn't sure which way to go with it, and I thought as soon as I call her Zena, she's going to be like, lady, can't you read?
No, I wouldn't have done it. I would have just politely
called her. Well, I just said warrior princess.
Okay, now, for anyone who hasn't met you or hasn't heard of you yet, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
Okay, I am a writer, first and foremost. I just released a new book with Lucid Publishing called True Maintenance of Paranormal, Werewolf, yay. I'm also an editor for Red Rose Publishing. That's a new venture. And, of course, the day job, the kids, the church, everything else, like most women.
But you've got quite a plate there to shuffle.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm dying to know before we get into everything, how do you find editing compared to the writing end of it?
Actually, I'm finding that editing is actually improving my writing skills because I look at what other people do and I'm going, oh, God, I hope I'm not putting my editors through that. So it really makes me go through what I do with a finer tooth comb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I hate that, though, to a point, because I'll do that, and then I have that little Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder when I write, and then it makes it hard for me to write. And I'm just like, God, can you just, you know, go sit down a minute, let me write it, and we'll come back and fix it later.
I haven't gotten that bad yet, I guess because I'm new. So what I do is I have a flow moment, and I just write because I'm a panster. I don't plot. I just write. And
yes,
then later I'll go back, and I'll be in edit mode.
Now, how many books so far have you written?
Let's see. I have one published. I have three more scheduled to come out with Faze, another one with Luz. Probably about six.
And you've been doing this how long now?
I started in December of 2006. I wrote my first word, my first chapter.
So you've just been going nonstop since then.
Yeah, that's what my friend said. She said, you let the genie out the box, and now it won't go back in.
Now, okay, we're dying to know, because we always try to, you know, get everyone to know the author a little bit better. How is it that you came into writing? What started you with it? What, you know, got you to sit down and say, hey, I'm going to write this book?
Actually, I was sitting at work. I work for the city. I do accounting, and this scene just popped in my mind, and it was so vivid that I had to write it down. And I just stopped everything, picked up a pen, wrote it down, looked at it, and went, typed it up, sent it to two of my good friends who are also avid book readers. And they basically, instead of emailing me back, they called me, where is this book for sale? Who wrote it? And when I said I did, they were like, okay, now where's the rest of it? And I'm like, oh, you liked it? They're like, if you don't finish this story, I'm going to kill you. So that became true mates.
Nothing like support from friends, right?
Okay.
Finish it or die. Okay, sorry.
Well, so you said your first title's True Mates, right? And that's
right.
Loose ID?
Loose, yes.
Do they pronounce it Lucid?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I always say Loose ID because I'm a reader.
Or Ella. You could also say that.
I always just let her go with it and correct her later.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michelle.
Manny just passed my head and smiles. It works for us. Now, what genre is this book in?
Paranormal.
Okay.
They actually stuck a whole lot of tags on it. It's paranormal, multicultural, because the heroine's biracial, BSDM, I guess because in the very first scene in the chapter, she's kind of like tied to a tree, so they consider that bondage. I think anything that they thought might attract somebody's interest, they just stuck it there.
It's a little of everything.
Yeah.
Everything and the kitchen sink. Woo!
Uh-huh.
But, you know, some of the best books are undefinable a single label, so I actually like that.
And
I have to say,
you have got one of the most striking covers. I absolutely love this. I love the colors on it. I love everything to do with it. And I think she is damn sexy, the girl.
I think it's Croco Designs did it. And the only request I had was I didn't want, explicit. I'm thinking of North Cave. I'm like, no. I want to be able to show my kids.
Right.
And when I saw it, I was like, oh, I'm in love, because it's everything that the book is about in a glance.
Yeah.
You could tell that it's a paranormal, multicultural. It's all right there at a glance.
Exactly. It's gorgeous. So, okay, now tell us a little bit about the book itself.
Okay. True Mates is about – I love those books where I hate to throw author's name, but like Laura Lee's Breed books where it's like one woman for one man and they're, to death do us part kind of a thing, the Destined
Right.
book. That's the theme of the book. In it, Keisha Morgan, who is the heroine, she kind of meets her hero under unusual circumstances. She's kind of snatched from bed and teleported and left hanging like a slab of meat for these wolves to come and sniff her. Of course, she has no idea what's going on. She doesn't believe in werewolves or anything until one shifts in front of her, who happens to be her mate. Then she realizes, okay, she's not in Florida where she thinks she's supposed to be, and he spends the next couple of days trying to get her to stay with him, not to return home to her comfortable environment. It just kind of grows from there where she's thinking affair, he's thinking forever. So he has to bring her around to his way of thinking.
Oh, see, I love that. I love when the hero's like, that's what it's going to be, and the heroine's like, I don't think so, thanks, but you can go now. Yeah.
That's kind of how it is.
And I totally just got this mental image of, like, her tied to this tree and this, wolf sniffing her crotch, like, oh, wow, what a way to meet, thanks.
Yeah, that's exactly it. She's kind of scared, it's dark, she doesn't know where she is, and these five big wolves come out, and she's, like, totally city, so it's like, okay, do they eat people? I don't know anything about wolves, I'm helpless here. So it has a touch of humor in some points.
I grew up in the city, and then we moved to the country, and it was quite a culture shock, and then we came back again, but while I was out there, some of the first things that I did or said end up in books, but I don't ever claim it as me, though. I remember walking up to a horse and being like, oh my gosh, I'm putting my hand out and pulling it back, and the guy with me goes, it's a horse, it's not going to bite you, it's okay. And I was like, completely scared, a friggin' tiger, the way I was acting.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm city, so I understand.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that was necessarily true, though, because they can nip at you.
Yes, they can.
Well, and I was acting like it was going to go Cujo on me, and he was going to be like, and then I swear to God, I look down at all their feet, and I go, you guys have cowboy boots on, for real. Like, I thought just in the movies.
You guys travel through time.
I know. And the stupid things that fall out of your mouth when you're,
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to read this now. I'm excited because this sounds fun. Oh, my gosh. Oh, and I also see that she's plus size, which is kind of cool, too, because, you know.
Yeah, I hate, I can't say I hate the little micro thin. I think that heroin should come in all shapes and sizes.
I agree.
Not just, you know, because women come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, lots of varieties, and I think that our books should reflect that.
Mm-hmm. I agree totally. Totally. Now, let's see, is there a sequel to this one?
Oh, yeah, this is like, I'm working on book four right now. Book two is Mary and the Bear. It features her best friend who follows her to refuge to work in a store and meets her mate who happens to be a werebear. And same scenario, she just came away from a situation where her family depends on her for everything, but they don't really treat her the way that she deserves to be treated. And some things happen that make her, okay, I've got to move, I've got to get away, I have to have a life of my own. And she's all about setting up her own identity, being her own person. And here's this man who says, okay, I want you. She's like, I don't want a man. I don't have time for a man. I'm too busy trying to figure out who I am. And he's kind of underhanded in the way he goes about mating her. Then, of course, she finds out about it. So, yeah, they kind of go through their own little twists and turns on the way to love, but it's pretty fun.
Now, what drew you to writing the paranormal?
I love paranormal. I have always loved paranormal. I started with, you know, the psychic books, visions, clairvoyance, things like that, and then I don't know if anybody ever remembers the Silhouette Shadows. They had like a whole paranormal series that it didn't last long, but I read a werewolf series there. And then,
right,
of course, Christine.
That. I remember
yeah.
That.
There was this one that had like wolf footprints on the front of it. I don't even remember the name of the book, but I remember what the stories were about, and they were so cool. And then I read Christina Feehan, her second one in the Dark series. That was the first book I read, and I was like, I want more of these, and I couldn't find them. And then a friend introduced me to e-books, and I was in heaven because there were all the books that I was looking for.
And they don't take up any room. Isn't that the best part? I love that.
It is.
I have 1,000 books right here on my computer.
And it's so much variety. I mean, any publisher, you can find what you're looking for. Werewolves, vampires, you name it.
Right.
There's somebody out there writing it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and I'm not one of those people who are shy. I know, shocking. I know, everyone pick up your jaws. So I don't care if I'm at the store and I'm walking up and I've got, you know, a cover and, you know, there's a guy and his, you know, woo-hoo's hanging out. I mean, I don't care. So I get up there, you know, I'll check out whatever. But it is kind of nice, too, to just be able to buy things in the privacy of my own home and not have everybody else see what I'm buying.
Exactly. And
mine's more laziness. I just don't want to have to leave my house to get the book.
And that instant fix is good. You know,
yeah,
I buy it, it's there.
Okay,
that's
now
me
I've
right
got
there.
A question. I've got a question for you. Now, on your website and on your blog too, you make mention of like a lot of like Christian values and being a Christian and that, and you write the BDSM and you know the paranormal and this and that. Now, how do you balance the two?
I have some very definite rules that I write by.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, all of my characters are married or whatever goes for married in their world. Like with the paranormal, the mating. I do have some IRs where they're married, but maybe you may not know it because like a twist, you find out they're married at the end or different things like that. Now, I kind of read a little bit of everything, but I do have certain rules that I stick by when I write. I don't hold everybody to those rules. It's just my personal standards, and I try not to cross those lines, which I think is kind of easy to do because you can get caught up in, oh, this is really selling, but I try not to do that. Like with, you know, males are really popular right now, and I don't have anything against anyone who writes it, but I personally won't write one because that's not my faith.
And everybody's got their thing of what they will and, you know, like me, I think this is stupid, but I don't do that at all. Like, and I've been asked a couple times to, you know, present tense books, and I just can't write in it. And I don't even really like to read it that much. I have to force myself to read present tense.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain things, like I have a friend that buys and reads everything, and some books she'll be like, okay, you need to read these, and other ones she's like, okay, don't read that one, because she don't. She's like, you will not be happy if you read that book right there, and I know to stay away from it for whatever reason.
And I think, you know, like, you know, regardless of, like, religious choice or whatever, a lot of people just have a personal taste in what they do and don't like to see a heroine go through. Some people
yes.
won't read a book with forced seduction. Some people won't
right.
read a book that, you know, like me personally, I don't like wimpy heroines. If I'm reading that book and she's a wimp and he's, like, walking all over her and she's his, you know, lapdog, I'm going to shut that and never come back.
Oh, yeah, instant wall thumper.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want the other way either. I don't also need, you know, the razor's edge chick. I mean, I love that happy medium gal who can,
yeah.
what does she get, you know?
I think because I'm a strong personality, I have to be, you know, single mom, you do so much. My heroines have to be strong. Not in your face bulldog strong, but you have to have. They have to have a sense of themselves and what lines they will and will not cross, and definitely draw that line with the hero. Okay, you can do this. Okay, now you stepped over the line. And I don't really like characters in books, be it male or female, that just let people walk all over them, because I don't like doormats, period.
Right. I've done it. I've done a couple men, not the heroes, but like secondary heroes, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That are kind of doormat-ish in the first book, and then when you get to theirs, you see the other side of the, you know. And I've done, and I've had people, like, email going, oh, my gosh, you just let her do that. And I'm like, just wait for it. Wait for it. Wait. And then, of course, I'll get the email after the next book. They're like, wow, damn.
Yeah.
And he was doing. He was building.
It's like the nice guy syndrome.
Right.
You don't want a man that is a bully, but if
right.
he's too nice, it's like, okay, I will walk all over you, so maybe we don't even need to see each other, because
really?
I know me.
Case in point, my husband. I'm like, I will chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
So, So with
yeah.
heroes, you always have to find that line of he's nice but not too nice, strong
right.
but not too strong.
Right.
What do they call it, gammas now? I don't keep up with the terminology.
You know, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to plug your ears out there, you know, what's the line between alpha and asshole? You know?
Oh, I have, yeah, I've read some books where the hero was like, if he was real, I could have reached in and choked him. I was like, okay, you don't have to worry. You won't live to the end of this book. So, yeah, I don't like those either.
Yeah, you have to be very careful with alphas. You have to make them redeemable.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make them understandable and sympathetic. And it can sometimes be a hard balance.
Yeah.
Especially
they have
how historical ladies do it, who do the historicals.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of mindset then was, you know, you are my property. And, wow, I don't know how they balance that and pull it off in, like, a romance-leaning way.
I guess that's why I don't read. I don't read a lot of historicals. I like the ones where I like the atypical ones. Like, if it's Regency, she has to be a blue stocking. There's a reason why she's alone, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Now, okay, before we have to let you go, I'd like to know what other things you're working on.
Right now I'm working on the fourth book of the True Mate series, which is kind of interesting. He's a cop. He's a werewolf. He's a cop. And they meet when he pulls her over for a traffic stop. And it's a very unconventional traffic stop. There's no one around. She smiles at him. And he just takes it from there. And, of course, her mind's like, okay, what just happened here? And it just goes from there, because he's in heavy pursuit and she's like, okay, I don't want to see you. I don't even know you, but things happen wherever we get together that I just don't understand. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. And for kicks, I make her a psychologist. So, of course, she can't understand her behaviors to him because it goes against everything she's been trained to believe. So that's what I'm working on right now.
So then, are these paranormals like, these are part of this series, right? Now, are you doing anything outside of this genre, or?
Yes. Well, I have two short stories that are interracial contemporaries that I wrote that will be released in August and September from FaZe. Okay. And those are the shorts. I kind of do those as breaks from the longer ones. And I try to only concentrate on one thing at a time, but you know how it is when you get this awesome storyline and you just have to stop whatever you're working on and work on the next thing.
I am writer ADD. I totally understand.
Yeah. But I try not to do that too much, and I have a beta group that kind of keeps me in track because if I come with something else, they're like, okay, wait, what happened to so-and-so? No, you can't do this. Go back to the first group.
Like, okay. Michelle gave up on me.
My only advice to Mandy, I kind of gave up on her, was they have to actually say, I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She often forgets to do that at the end.
Well, maybe to her, too, after the book. Like, I love you, Michelle, thank you. But, you know, yeah. I have been known to write a whole book, and the heroine never actually said, I love you. I have to go back in and, like, find a good spot.
Yeah, but I've read yours, so it shows, even if they don't say it, but yeah, with a romance, you kind of expect the whole I love you thing.
Look at that, Michelle, see? It's just implied.
Great. You just undid, like, 3 years of my hard work.
I am so sorry.
Okay, so your newest one, can you tell us the title again?
The newest one is called The Contract.
Okay, and
that,
this is with Lucid, or?
No, this is with FaZe.
Okay.
FaZe Books.
Okay.
And it's just a short story. It's a futuristic, because I wanted to dabble in that world. There is set on an asteroid, and Cicely, my heroine, is married to one man, and they go to the asteroid and meet up with his brother, who promptly loses his wife. And there is a clause in the contract that they signed that says that you have to be married, one, first of all, to be there. And if a spouse dies, it gives the husband the right to claim whoever's, you know, one of the other wives as his own so he can stay there. So you pretty much have two brothers trying to claim the same woman, and it's a whole lot of controversy that starts as a result.
And
oh,
when is
God.
That one coming out? I want it.
That will be released August 4th.
So you're saying it'll be in my inbox tonight. Got it. I'm sorry,
yeah,
was that too blatant, Mandy? Do you want me to try again?
Can you try to be a little more suave? Can you just...
I am smooth. I am known for that.
If you want it, I will send it to you.
Ha! See, it worked. Shameless begging works. That's how I got married. All right. Zeta, you want to give everybody your website and where they can find you on the web if they want to learn more about you or your books?
Okay. That is www.zenawynn, that's ZenaWynn.com.
And you are with Lucid and FaZe?
Lucid and FaZe. And also on my website, I have the books that's published plus the books that's coming, and there's a whole page devoted to the TrueMate series. So you kind of know what's coming and what's out there.
Yeah, I was playing on that while you were talking, too. Like, what's a TrueMate? And I'm reading it.
Yeah.
I'm there now.
Yeah, I have the first chapter that posted out there. I was kind of surprised that Lucid picked that as their excerpt, the whole first chapter. I thought it was kind of interesting, but I was glad to see that they picked that too. And so many people say, oh, you hooked me with that first chapter. I had to know what happened afterwards.
Yeah,
so
I
think that's
a
good thing.
I found after, like, Well, I don't even know how many ebooks I have out right now. I honestly lost count. The first chapter seems to do the best for the reader. The readers really like being able to get in there and sink their teeth in the story and figure out if it's something they're going to like or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think, at least in my case, they seem to like it more than just like a random excerpt from somewhere in the book.
That is one of the things that I've always liked about new concepts.
Mm-hmm.
You can read the first chapter.
Yeah.
And make your decision based on that, because sometimes the blurb doesn't just hit it right.
Right.
But that first chapter is like, oh, yes, I want to read this.
Right. And I like that they don't just pick up sometimes the prologue. And I like that they'll put up a little bit more than that, because a lot of times, you know, you need the lead in, but it's not really what the story is yet. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that the first chapter is up on that, because... Yeah, I'm trying not to click over there, because last week I clicked on the website when we had the guest on, and I started reading their website.
We lost Mandy. She was reading excerpts and making a shopping list that she shared with me afterwards.
I so was. And I'm sitting here, and I have this big thing for a multicultural, multiracial, and I love any kind of plus-size book. So
yeah.
I'm sitting here going, yeah, I know, and I'm going to begin. Yeah.
Well, I thank you, because I've been a huge fan of both of y'all for a long time, so
thank you.
Makes my day.
Well, thank you. You know, and Mary hasn't called in yet, so you're welcome to stay on with us for a little bit longer if you'd like. It's up to you.
Okay.
You have to go. We understand.
way past my bedtime. If I get silly, don't blame me.
Oh, hey, no, we actually encourage that.
Yeah, we have a disclaimer. Like,
sanity?
What is that? It's ridiculous. What is sanity?
The guys with the white coats say we don't have any here.
Okay.
No,
yeah.
I love that quote about writing being a socially acceptable form of schizophrenia. I love that.
Oh, yeah. My friend told me. She said, just how many voices do you hear in your head? And I'm like, shh, don't say that out loud. People can hear you.
You know, I share a story with you guys, and since you all pretty much know a lot of the same writing circle friends, J.C. Clark, who's also at New Concepts and some other places than that,
mm-hmm.
She called me today to tell me that she had a dream about one of my characters and herself.
Okay.
It's not what you think it would be, either. She's like, mm-hmm. We were in a boat. And I dreamt about James from Daughter of Darkness. And he was throwing my textbooks over the side of the boat. And I'm like, Casey, are you feeling okay? What did you eat before you went to bed? I mean, how bizarre is it that you're an author and then you have a dream about someone else's character with you? So I figure tonight I'm going to go to sleep and dream about the Kincaids. That's what
Was she reading your book before she went to sleep?
No, that's the odd thing, you know? And that kind of reminds me, people say you hear characters talk in your head. I think that it's entirely possible now other characters are talking.
Oh, my friends think I'm so strange when I mention a certain scene and I go, oh, that cracked me up, or I can't believe my character just did that. And they're like, didn't you just write that? I'm like, you just have no idea, do you?
Yeah, sometimes you bust a gut at your own thing, and then, you know, if you pull back and look at it really hard, you're like, wait a minute, I wrote that. Or I like when you're going through and you get towards the end of something that you're not done with yet. You're like, oh, how's it end? And there's not an end on it yet, and you're really wondering how it ends, and you're like, oh, crap, I'm the one writing it. Crap.
So when JC called you, did you grab, like, a notebook and pen thinking you were going to start book four or what?
No, I laughed at her heavily and suggested that perhaps she felt like in her current life she was sinking, and that James represented me, who's always laughing at her about it. I tend to do.
You would never throw a book
life.
Overboard, though.
I know. That was the only thing. I tried, though. I tried to do my psychoanalyze of it. But, yeah.
That's a very dangerous thing.
I know. I was just inventing stuff, too. And I'm like, oh, and then when you got all done, you probably realized that, like, he stood up and was only 2 foot, right? But, yeah, she was like, I just have to share this with you. It was very bizarre. And I'm like, that does rank up there on the top three bizarre for the day. Thank you.
That is weird. Especially if she wasn't reading your book. There are certain books that I won't read before I go to bed. Like, I learned this lesson with Laura K. Hamlin. I love the Anita Blake series, but, yeah, I don't read those before you go to bed. You're just in a very weird world.
Yeah. do you have, like, I know you mentioned, like, Lorelei, and that was one, and Christine Feehan, and that. Who are some other people that maybe inspired you over the years to...
Okay, since I've been reading so long, I used to love early Linda Howard, like when she was with Silhouette and when she first went to Pocket Books. Like she did a psychic book, Dream Man, that is still one of my all-time favorites, just out of paranormal books. Oh, God, my list is so long. I love J.R. Ward. Who doesn't? E-books, I like some of everybody. There's a whole crew at New Concepts, like Madeline Montague. Is that how she pronounces her last name?
Oh, you are talking to the wrong person on how to pronounce a name.
Okay.
Montague, yeah.
She does some excellent paranormals. And if I want a good laugh, I read Stephanie Burke. I think she was like the first e-book I read. She had a book called Lucubarius where he was a vampire and his mate was a werewolf, and she pretty much just kind of ripped into him the whole book, and I was dying laughing.
You know, one of my first e-books was from her, too. It was Slayer by her. That was one of my first e-books that I ever read. And boy, she has got that little wicked sense of humor.
She does. I mean, you just laugh your way through it. She did one that was about a mermaid, and it was RR where this doctor was thrown out of this plane, and she lands on top of the merman, and he rescues her. That book was so hysterical, because at first she thinks she's dreaming. And then he's like, you're complaining. And he actually drops her to let her sink, because, you know, he's like, okay, I'm going to let you drown. And then she realizes as she's drowning that, okay, this isn't a dream. This is real. So when he gets guilty and rescues her, she's like, okay, you were going to let me drown. He's like, mm-hmm. And she punches him. I mean, just from there on, I was laughing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, she was one of my first ones, too. And I remember meeting her at one of the Romantic Times convention, and she was in a bunny costume for the costume party. And when I say a bunny costume, I mean, like, the sheer, like barely anything there, little type G-string thing with a little fluffy bunny.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. You know what? Seriously, she's one of them bodies that you just want to smack her for having a body that good. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, no, stop it now. Stand over there. Stand farther away so I look better when you stand further
away. Lena told me she has a book out called Pink that I have to go get. Pink is the hero's name, and he's a little fairy. In fairy form, he's pink, and he wears a tutu.
Oh,
you know, he's looking for a job. And, of course, she's like this businesswoman, like, who let the loony out of the nut house to come look for a job? I was like, okay, I have to go find that one.
Okay, now I have to totally segue into something else, all right, with the writing now. And the loony bin and everything else. Have you found with your friends who are not writers in that, when you tell them about a story and you're saying it out loud, do you ever just sit there and be like, wow, I just said, and then there was this vampire and he came back to life and then he went over and there was a fairy and he was in a tutu, and do you ever do that? Do you ever step back and go, wow? Because seriously, I didn't at first until some of my friends pointed it out to me.
I try not to, because I learned the hard way. I'll be like, oh, I got this story idea. And I'll tell them, and they're like, oh, that sounds so good. So when are you going to write that? I'm like, I don't know. And then, of course, they're pissed. And I always have story ideas going through. I've got like 20 on a back list that if I ever get to them, they're going to get written, but just not yet.
Well, you know, I actually kind of had something maybe a little opposite happen. When I first started writing and getting published and I was working, you know, trying to figure out how to balance the hours of actual writing and trying to learn how to build websites and promotion and just overworked, I was called over to a family gathering last minute. When I was like in the middle of a work run and didn't get a lot of sleep, so it was kind of spacey as it was. And I met some relatives that weren't directly my relatives, but were like relatives of an in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them asked me, and this is the first time I'd ever really been asked anything in public about my writing. And she asked me, well, where do you get your ideas from? And I looked at her, and I was kind of spacey and tired, and just with a serious face and look, I go, well, the voices give them to me. Any other writer would have instantly knew what I meant. This woman almost chucked her meatball out at me. She choked on it. I mean, this little piece of meat almost went flying. And I could see her slowly backing away from me. And, of course, it took me a few seconds to actually register what I had said. By that time, she was, like, completely out of the room. I have not seen that woman again.
You can do that with family, but not other people.
Well, it was like I wasn't expecting that question in. You know, it was kind of one of those things where you're put in the spot like, oh, she's a writer. She has books published. And I hadn't really discussed it with anybody in my area. You know, and you're tired and you're not thinking and you've been working. And, yeah, so that was basically, yeah.
This is
I don't know.
When I leave Michelle alone at family gatherings. This is what happens.
I will always remember the poor meatball lady. She did too. I mean, it was just, I was like a second away of having this thing just hit my face.
It was probably the straight face that scared her.
Well, you know, I just answered in any writer, you say that to them and they instantly know what you mean. This woman.
I'm like the people who act like you're contagious when you tell them. Like it's a disease. If they get too close, they're going to catch the writing bug and the paranormal writing bug to boot, which is much worse. It's like the next level of sickness. Yeah, I love that. I love the facial expression.
Yeah, because people will ask, they're like, where do you come up with this from? It's like, sorry.
That's my advice to new writers. Have some answers prepared beforehand. Practice interviews in the mirror.
Note cards, yeah.
Don't be a Michelle.
We've got a question in the chat room, and this is the perfect because it leans into what we're talking about. Have you ever had characters that resemble people in your real life by accident? Yes. I'll let our guest answer first. I'll let Zena answer first, but yes, I have on accident. Yeah.
Not by accident, but I have purposely taken characteristics from people that I know and used them to make a character and, of course, hope that no one that reads it recognizes themselves. But... Yeah, I did that with a villain once. I took it from my oldest daughter, actually. I was like, oh, yeah, this would be perfect.
I love it. You know, if my mom wrote a book, she could say that, too. She'd be like, I totally based it off my daughter. She's a villain.
Yeah, you just sit there and you go, okay, what would they do in this situation? Like, oh, yeah, that annoys me. Let me put this in here.
I gave birth to evil incarnate. Look at that. Wow.
Well, we've got the second part of this question. Have you offended them because of it?
No. Well, you know, my daughter, she read it. She didn't recognize herself. But, you know, most people don't recognize themselves when they see it in print because we don't see ourselves the way other people see us. So you can be blatant, describe them to a T, and leave everything the same but the name, and they still won't recognize it. Other people will be like, oh, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah, unless you use, like, their distinguishing birthmark that they have on their forehead.
Yeah. Now, I will own up to what I did, but I won't own up to where I did it. It was beginning writing, you know, how you write about what you know and all that good stuff. And I didn't know at the time that I was doing it, but upon reflection, a character, many of his annoying quirks and habits and his parts that just really just make you grit your teeth are what my husband does that annoys me. You know? Oh, my gosh. And then I'm looking back at it, like, years later, and I'm like, oh, man, that's Shane, but, like, with longer hair and a tighter ass. Wow.
You know, and readers love that character, and I think he only annoys you. Nice try, though.
I know, it's really sad. And I tell him, too, I'm like, I think I accidentally based this off you, and he's looking at me like, okay.
But you have a fan club, so it's all right.
Yeah, honestly, his first thing was like, did I get some tail? I swear to you.
But, you know, for that reason, writing can be therapeutic because, you know, I can say things in a book that I would never dare say to a person. Like, oh, yeah, if I can really say this to you.
I can say I love you in a book, thanks to Michelle.
Like I said, it only took me 3 years.
Now we've got another one in there, Daniel Downstow. How do people you know react to you being a romance writer? Any level of shock or awe? Yeah.
My kids, you know, they were, like, really cool with it because my youngest daughter, she's all about the money. She's like, okay, we're going to have checks rolling in. My sister shocked me. She's, like, my biggest fan, and I didn't expect that. She hounds me. You got another book coming out? Like, the series, the True Mate series, she's read all of them, even though they're not published, you know, because you have to give them the family. And now she calls me every so often, okay, where's Shayla's story? I'm waiting on Shayla's story. Have you written Shayla's story yet? I'm like, okay, it's coming, it's coming. You know, a few close friends. No, other than that, I don't really talk about it. I mean, it's obvious that I write because every time someone sees me, I have pen and paper in hand. You know, I'm sitting, I'm waiting on my daughter to finish with something, I'm writing. People go, every time I see you, you're writing. What are you writing? I'm like, oh, this and that. And just leave it at that.
Yeah. I don't know about Michelle. I suffer from not really getting and wrapping my mind around the fact that, like, my books are everywhere type thing. And that people everywhere have read, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. I very much still think of myself as it's just me. Kind of, you know, hanging out, doing something I like doing, kind of like hobby-ish almost, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around it at times. And then when somebody else gets very like, oh, wow, that's so cool. I'm looking at it, I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's just a girl with a computer.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's so funny, yeah.
I
think what gets me, because I'm so new, is when someone I've been reading for years says, oh, I read your book. That was so cool. And I'm like, oh, my God. You read my book?
Yeah, that is. It's crazy. Yeah. And, you know, I have yet to feel like I'm part of the gang, and it's no fault of anyone else's. You know, they're always welcoming. I just am like, I don't know. I keep waiting for someone to show up. I say this all the time and say, stop pretending to be an author. Go play somewhere else.
Well, it is kind of strange, too, when you have those people, like when we do signings, especially at the national conferences, and you'll have these people who are, like, scared to approach, you know, or get, like, all shaky, excited to meet you. And, I mean, I find myself looking over my shoulder going, ooh, who's here?
I think the first time that I have a print book and someone's like, will you sign my book? And they're like, who? Me?
Okay, I just kind of look around like, really? Are you sure?
My first time somebody said will you sign this, I said, why? Why? Why do you want me to sign this? Why would you want me to deface your book? It's just me.
I haven't had a chance to go to the conferences yet, but maybe next year I'm going to start with Epicon. Well, the Epic Conference, and I think RT is supposed to be in Orlando, and that's not too far from there, so I might be able to make it there. I'm sure that my mind is going to be blown. That's just going to be a whole new world for me.
You know, I found, though, that everyone is just so friendly and so nice and willing to direct you, you know, and help out, especially if it's your first year.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was very welcoming.
It's very reader-friendly. It's one of those conferences that really does center around the reader, so it's a lot of fun to be at. I mean, it's just, it's really hard to describe. It's an entirely different world for, like, 6 days. You're out of touch with reality, and it's its own little world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sun up to sundown, just nonstopness. And it's in a good way, too. And, I mean, it's just a lot of fun because you'll make so many friends there. You know, and people that we met at them, what, years ago, we still talk to now, you know, all the time.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And plus you'll be able to put, like, faces to names that you talk to people online and meet your publishers, meet different people in the industry. And like I said, everyone is, I mean, there's a few exceptions, of course, to every group, but usually everyone is just very friendly, very willing to help out. And it's just a lot of fun.
Danielle has another question, I think, or he or she, I'm not sure, wants to know, who picks the cover art and do you have a favorite contemporary title?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I guess I can, you know, I don't know how Lucid works, but we fill out art forms everywhere else, and you sub in an art form that kind of represents like your book and that, and then the artist gets it. And from the artist side of it, I guess I'll just out myself there. I do cover art under another name.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, yeah. I'm coming out.
Mandy came out.
I do cover art under Natalie Winters.
I hope that sentence is all they take away from the show.
And you get the cover art form, and you read it, and you get, like, a little idea of what the author has in mind. And a lot of times they'll tell you what they want. Some of them will send pictures of this is what I think it looks like. So you take all that, and then you come up with a concept, and you try really hard to meet what they'd like in that and follow what they like and follow the story in that. Sometimes you have to go off if, you know, maybe you're not thinking it's going to, you know, come out well in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sort of, you know, then you do it all, and then you hand it over. And I don't know, the process is different in each place, and then the author kind of looks at it. And sometimes the places allow feedback. Sometimes it's, you know, as is unless there's a major error. But hopefully that answered your question on it in the chat room. But now how does the process
mm-hmm.
work at Lucid? Does it work the same way? Or?
They have a cover art form that you have to fill out, and they ask very detailed information about the hero, the heroine, maybe your favorite scene, and you actually put excerpts, you know, like if you want to use it based on that. And you just put all of that information. Of course, they didn't go with anything that I said, but that was fine because I was happy because, I mean, even the hero and the heroine's representation, I loved it. My biggest concern was when the cover does not match the book.
Right.
You know, I literally had a book where the heroine had black hair, but the woman on the front was blonde. So every time I read a description of a heroine, I found myself slipping to the cover because it's like, okay, these don't match. It just totally threw me off.
Yeah.
E-books seem to be pretty good, though, about matching cover art. That's one of the first thing I noticed, too, because that's a big pet peeve of mine. I like to have the characters in my head while I'm reading, and, yeah, you kind of flip back and it pulls you out if it doesn't match.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we should take a minute, and we should thank you for coming on and joining us and hanging out with us longer in that. And it was a lot of fun. And True Mates, everybody, got to go get that one. And also,
please.
Okay, I forgot the name of the first one, the contemporary, the, ooh. I lose names like you would not believe. What's your contemporary title name? That's out.
True Mates? Or
yes.
What?
No, the one
that's coming.
Yeah.
Oh, the one that's coming, The Contract.
Yes,
the
thank you. See, and you know what? I have that written down here. And I think I was thinking something else, like ask her about a contract. Wow, yeah. I do radio, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. Zena, we would like to thank you for joining us. Everyone, you can get to her at her website at Zena Wynn, and that's Wynn with a Y, WYNN.com. And you can read more about her and her books, and I'm pretty sure you can contact her through there.
Mm-hmm.
If you have questions for her, I'm sure she'd be happy to answer them. Or just shout out and say hi, you heard her on the radio. I'd like to thank all our guests who joined us in the chat room. We have Kenda Bell, Daniel Dan, CMCEUEN5, several guests who I didn't write down, The Paranormal Realm, Cher Sterling, who's been here since the very, very beginning before we started. So hi, Cher. And to our wonderful guest, Zena, thank you so much. And I know I already said that, but thank you, because you actually stayed on for the second half hour and helped entertain us.
My pleasure. And I wasn't nearly as nervous as I thought I was going to be.
Oh, you did great.
All right, thank you all
everybody.
For joining us. Bye.
Bye.